Thanks, Phil. You can always tell when Phil's doing a reading, very dramatic. Those pauses, and we're on the edge of our seat, wondering what comes next. And one other point is, say hello to the camera. Is it this side or is this side better? What would you like? Okay, okay. So, my mic is the only other thing to confess. We're trying out a few new things. I'm not about to sing out and dance like Britney Spears does. Maybe later. We'll see how quick I can get the talk done. So good morning, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed having your photo taken. You all look beautiful. It's special Sunday best. And it was great fun to be family, right? To be coming together at all our services, to be seen and to gather together. It's just a brilliant place to be. And it feeds in really nicely with today's talk. Last week, Mike closed his teaching with a prayer for those who are struggling in life, like Naomi was in chapter 1, who felt that God was personally against her by allowing her husband and sons to die in the country of Moab. Naomi said, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back to Bethlehem empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Following God doesn't always feel like a straight line upward to glory. Sometimes our circumstances push us way down, but the low place is where we find our Saviour. Jesus was born in a manger. He had no place to lay his head. He died condemned on a cross. But he is called the King of Glory. In God's economy, the low place is the high place. And the book of Ruth reaffirms that truth. In chapter 1, Naomi was focusing on what she had lost. But here in chapter 2, she realizes that she has gained what she has gained in having the loyalty and devotion of Ruth. The theme given to chapter 2 today is the providence of God. Which leads me to ask the obvious question, what does the word providence mean? Does anyone know? There must be some people know what the word providence means. Shout it out nice and loud, or if you're watching on home, shout particularly louder. Provision, yes, from bad stuff and to good stuff. From I was looking for from the answer's always God, your Jesus or whatever. Yeah, it's the protection, protective care of God. Or a lengthier description is this. It's God's caring provision for his people as he guides them in their journey of faith through life, accomplishing his purpose in them. Who wants purpose in your life? When I asked at the 8:30 service, 90% of people put up their hands. I ask it here, and one person did. Thank you, Paul. Who wants purpose in their lives? That's better. A bit of participation. Everyone, another question. Who wants to accomplish that purpose? Wouldn't it be great? The whole point of Ruth 2 is that we see the providence of God in the actions of Boaz, who is probably the nephew of Naomi's late husband, Elimelech. Through his kindness, Boaz ushered in redemption day for Naomi and Ruth, and their lives were transformed. My plan today is to briefly run through chapter 2 to show how the kindness of Boaz points to the providence of God in our lives. Then I'm going to dive a little deeper into just one verse that caught my attention during the study of this passage this week. So, Father, teach us your ways as we look at this next season of Ruth's life. And let's start with chapter 2, verse 4. It says, Boaz greeted the harvesters, saying, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Boaz brought honor to God in all he did. He knew that his wealth and ability to provide for others was not his own doing, but God's. Jesus did the same. He honored God and pointed people to him by glorifying God for his protection and provision for us all. And as followers of Jesus, we should be doing the same. Let's look at verse 5, where Boaz asked, "Who does that young woman belong to?" Boaz noticed Ruth, who had approached his site manager with humility. God seeks out those on the margins and those that are in need. He seeks them out like the shepherd who left the 99 sheep to save the one. God notices us and he knows our situation. So we also need to be watchful for those on the margins of our communities and help them to belong within them. What about verse 8? Verse 8 says, Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here." By calling Ruth my daughter, Boaz was accepting this foreign Moabite woman as his own. Even though the nation of Moab was a fierce enemy of Israel throughout most of the Old Testament. In the same way, God welcomes us and offers us a relationship with him. He accepts us sinners as sons and daughters and brings us into his inheritance, becoming co-heirs with Christ. What about verse 9? Let's move on to verse 9, where it says, "I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars." Boaz recognized Ruth's vulnerability of being the new woman on the block who didn't know the dangers or allowances, so he called for her protection and gave her guidance. Likewise, God provides the needed protection and provision that we need to flourish in our work and our life. Are there people you know who need protection? Who need protection and provision at the moment? How might you support them? Verse 14, we swiftly move on. At the mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar, and have some roasted grain." Boaz calls Ruth into the place of honor to be with him at the meal table. In the same way, God is personal and not distant with us. We receive a personal invitation to do life with Jesus and all that he offers. He calls us to come to him, to eat his bread and drink his wine like we'll do later, in remembrance of that he died to save us. Is there anyone you could share a meal with this week to encourage them and bless them? Verses 15 to 17 says, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up." Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. Boaz here goes above and beyond in his provision, not just to Ruth, but also for Naomi now, as an ephah is 13 kilograms in weight. So she collected about half a month's wages that one day. It was immeasurably more than she could have imagined. Our God is a God of abundance and extravagance, and he delights not just in the provision, but in the generosity of the overflow as we give out to others from what God has already given to us. Verse 20 says, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "The Lord bless him, as he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." That man, she said, is not just our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Boaz embodies features of God's own character, particularly his kindness. This kindness is clearly visible as Boaz goes well beyond any legal requirements in his generosity to Ruth, even to the point of including Naomi and Ruth in the inheritance plan. And much like Boaz was the guardian redeemer for the clan of Elimelech, Jesus is the guardian redeemer in his worldwide church family that we are part of. He has taken on the burden of our sin and state, and redeemed us to stand faultless before the throne of God. How could you express kindness and generosity this week? And the final verse, verse 23, says, Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. By Boaz allowing Ruth to work through the season meant she had time to become part of the community of Bethlehem. Though they were related by marriage and not by blood, Ruth and Naomi were fully accepted. In the same way, God places us into a church so we can grow into the people that he wants us to be. Are there people in your communities who you could come alongside and disciple? So we can see very clearly all that this passage is telling us about the providence of God and our relationship with Jesus, who welcomes, redeems, protects, provides, and blesses. What happened to Ruth on that redeeming day is a picture of what happens to all of us, all who come to Christ. He lifts us up. He cares for us. He provides for us. His eye is upon you right now. And everything in your life is leading you to that place of glory and fulfillment and redemption in him. So that's the overview. But let me now dig a little bit into the verse that I've been drawn to this week as I've been preparing. And it's verse 5, which says, who does that woman belong to? Now, who enjoys the David Attenborough programs? Programs where he uncovers parts of our incredible world that we live in, both beautiful and shocking. What often strikes me is how harsh the natural world is. Many newborn animals have to fight for their own survival without any care or support from their parents. It's just survival of the fittest, or for many, survival of the luckiest. But it's different for humanity. As God breathed his own life into us, making us the only created ones who are made in his image. So we are born to be in a caring relationship with others from our first breath onwards. We are designed and wired that way to support each other and to belong to something. So Boaz asked, who does that woman belong to? But I'm asking, who do you belong to? We've seen this very thing come to life in the Mowbray housing development that we're working with, people who are responding really positively to our work of building community there. This is the latest gathering we did at Bohunt School with some residents. But it's not just the residents that are giving us this feedback, it's the developers as well. One of the senior Carla staff, Carla's the housing developer that's in working at the moment for phase one. It's from them, and one of the senior staff came up to me and said that there's no other site that they're working on, from Legal & General or Carla, that's doing what we're doing. They're definitely starting to value what we as a church and as a team are doing to create community. The Mowbray mission statement that we wrote a year ago, you may see it on the banner there. It's creating community for all to flourish. And it's starting to become a reality up there as it's about belonging. As people of God's image, he wants us to belong to something, because God himself belongs to something, to the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So belonging is not about connections and social media followers. It's about being in a place where you not only survive, but you thrive. So who do you belong to? Humans are drawn to belong to a group, whether that's good or bad. But God wants us to be part of a welcoming and loving community, a place where we can grow, a place where we can wrestle healthily with Scripture as we seek to understand it accurately and apply it appropriately. So he gave his church as a place where we can belong, where we can be safe, where we can relax, where we can love and enjoy life. So how can we, St. Mark's Church, how can we be a place where people can belong? And people who... how can we grow in our own sense of belonging to St. Mark's? Some here will have a huge sense of belonging already. This is Elsie. Some of you may know her. I met her at the BCP service this Wednesday. Elsie's 86 years old. Can you guess how long she's been part of the St. Mark's community? Any guesses? Because I know some of you will know her. No. I mean, when she saw herself as an actual member. 75 years she's been a member of our church for. She belongs. But it's not just about the number of years someone has attended St. Mark's. There will be some who have worshipped here quietly for many years and still feel on the margins, on the edge of things. Or maybe you are missing Richard and you're finding it hard to connect with our church without him. And of course, there are some who only joined us recently, so the sense of belonging is only just starting to develop. Wherever you're at this morning, I think there's four things from today's passage that we can do to help us grow in our sense of belonging to St. Mark's Church. And they're connect, serve, pray, and give. I'm just going to very briefly touch on each one of those before I close. Connect, it starts with connections. Boaz saw Ruth and invested his time and attention into her. How can we invest into making new connections? You could join the weekly house group that we have across the church, or the monthly prayer triplets. You could sign up for the church weekend away at Ashburnham Place. And if you've joined St. Mark's in the last 18 months, you could sign up to the newcomers' cheese and biscuits evening on the Tuesday, the 12th of March. But let's not limit this to church activities. Can we bring it into our everyday lives? Boaz invited Ruth to his meal table. So who could you invite back to your house for a meal today? Or if you need more time to prepare during the week or next Sunday? So the second one is to serve. Ruth humbly approached the site manager to ask if she could serve in Boaz's field. And she put her head down and got on with the work. How could you serve at St. Mark's? This is not Stewardship Sunday, but it's an opportunity to belong. And the single best way to do that is to serve. We have 61 different ministry areas to uphold. Could you help keep them going and keep them growing? Maybe there's a different area that it's in need that you could serve in, instead of a rare area that you've served in for many years. Number three is prayer, or pray. The first two points are very practical, but this one is spiritual, and it's needed so much as there is a spiritual battle going on in every church. After feeling knocked down by her circumstances in chapter 1, Naomi shifted her prayers from lament to praise in giving thanks for what God had done. So why don't we begin and end all our prayers with thanksgiving? Allow thankfulness to impact our hearts, our life, our walk with God, our own mental health. And it's a huge year for our church, isn't it? With Richard no longer with us and the lengthy process of finding a new vicar underway, we must be praying for our church. You could join our fortnightly prayer evening called Wellspring. Tomorrow night is our next session. And you could ask the office to add you to the church prayer email distribution list. So connect, serve, pray, and give. Don't walk out now. It's okay. Boaz gave generously of his land and produce to bless those in the community. How is your giving? Is it generous? Do you need to review it? If you're new and you haven't started giving yet, maybe now is the time. We're investing into two more staff this year with our kids' work and our youth work. to further our work in St. Mark's and the community around us. But we're having to use our reserves. In fact, based on our current income, we're forecasting a deficit for the next 4 years at least. And we can cover the gap with our reserves, but that's not a healthy way to be a church. So we need to see an increase in our monthly giving. Could you help? But do note, this is as much about personal discipleship as it is about practical giving and finances. Luke 12, verse 34 says, "For where your treasure is, your money, there your heart will be also." Or to put it another way, where you invest, you will belong. However much or little it might be, give something, as it is a sign to yourself that you're on board and journeying with us in this mission. So how do we respond to Ruth 2 and God's providence today? Well, it's very practical today. You'll be offered a belonging response slip as you leave on your way out. On it, you'll find a contact name and email address for each of those four responses: connect, serve, pray, give. You've got connections with Martin Hennock if you want to join a house group or prayer triplet, or if you want to sign up to Ashburnham Place, email Martin. If you want to get involved with serving on the team, email me. If you want to pray more for our church, email the office to ask to be added to the prayer email and join us tomorrow night. And if you want to review or start giving, then contact Mike Parry, who will help you set up that, and you can help to review your finances going forward. Please take the slip away, and for your benefit in belonging, please pray and think and complete the form. Then email the people linked in that slip. But if you want to, as a statement of commitment, tick the box or boxes that you've responded to, put your name on that slip of paper and bring it back next week and put it in the offering as our offering, our commitment to God in what we're going to do to belong. So to close, may we not leave people alone, and may we not separate ourselves from our church fellowship, lest we become vulnerable and lose our way. We need each other, especially this year as we journey through it without a vicar. And we want every member to have the joy of belonging here at St. Mark's. Now, to close in prayer, as I was doing my morning Lectio 365, who does Lectio 365? It's a great online tool if you haven't, and it takes you can read through it or you can listen to it. I like to listen to it because it's like an encounter with God, and it some scriptures and teachings and prayer. But interestingly, the prayer at the end of this morning's Lectio 365 is this. And I'm just going to pray this to close. Lord, may our church community be increasingly known as a home where weary, wandering souls might find belonging and direction. Fill us to overflowing with the hope and joy of Jesus' resurrection. Lord, may our church community be increasingly known as a home where weary, wandering souls find belonging and direction, and fill us to overflowing with the hope and joy of Jesus' resurrection. Amen.